our text this morning, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 12. We'll read verses 12 through 16, and then we'll have our special music and the preaching this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, resteth upon your partner, a part of his evil spoken. But on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or as a busybody, or other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf.
When the angry winds are blowing and the storm is all around, how sweet it is in knowing that refuge I have found. I stand upon the blessed holy rock of ages, and safe within a shelter I will be. The winds may blow, and the angry storm all around me rages upon the rock, the solid rock of ages I shall stand. This rock is Christ my Savior, my soul he will defend. Trusting daily in his favor, on his promise I depend. I stand upon the blessed holy rock of ages, and safe within his shelter I will be. The winds may blow, and the angry storm all around me rages upon the rock, the solid rock of ages I shall stand. I stand upon the blessed holy rock of ages, and safe within his shelter I will be. The winds may blow, and the angry storm all around me rages upon the rock, the solid rock of ages I shall stand. Upon the rock I stand.
There's no better place to stand when you're in trouble. In fact, there's no better place to stand in general when you start your day than upon a solid rock. Amen? Well, I sure hope to be a blessing to you this morning, overcoming trials, persecution, and suffering this morning. In the first century church, trials were common. In fact, Peter writes that it's common for fiery trials to come. Sometimes we get a little bit frustrated, get a little bit aggravated because things don't go our way. And folks, we need to remind ourselves once in a while, the trials that we go through, in all honesty, here in America, please help me if I'm wrong and I'll apologize, but there's not too many fiery trials that we go through like the Christians did in the early church. I haven't read in the news where Christians were filleted, set afire for their faith, poured kerosene on to light up some leader's garden. But yet, we do go through trials and tribulations. In fact, many believers do not understand why they must suffer. When they suffer, they are surprised and wonder, why does God not protect them from persecution? Dear friends, it's good for us to go through some of that once in a while. It draws us closer to Him. And we must understand that. Friend, as long as we are upon this earth, we will be called upon to face trials. In fact, some of them, the way our world is going, some of those fiery trials may come our way. But they haven't yet. And if you want to know about fiery trials a little better, want to understand why your trials may not be so bad, might not be a good idea to correspond with a missionary. It might be good to correspond and read some of their prayer letters, and especially those that are in countries that are being attacked for their faith, but yet they're still serving the Lord. Again, being a believer in a corrupt world is difficult. See, the world cannot understand self-denial, discipline, purity, righteousness. When a person begins to live for Christ, the world wants little to do with them Or they want to find out for sure, or do they really mean what they say? Has their life really changed? See, it might be next door. It might be in the office, in school, in the government, in the military, or 100 other places. But the genuine Christian is often avoided, ridiculed, mocked, isolated, ignored, neglected, overlooked, bypassed, cursed, questioned, abused, mistreated, slandered, persecuted, imprisoned, or martyred. Did I leave anything out? But how true it is that we may face some of these things. May not be all of them in our lifetime, but yet we face some of them. Why does God allow the believer to suffer persecution? I believe verse 12 tells us that a God allows it for one very basic reason: to test, to try, and to prove us, to help us to be more like Him. See, as Christians, we should expect, and hang on now, not only expect, but maybe even embrace trials. Oh, preacher, I don't welcome the trials no more than I welcome hitting my thumb with a hammer. I understand that. But according to the Word of God, these trials that the Lord brings our way helps us, embetters us, draws us closer to Him, helps us to be more like Him. So just a few things this morning. As Christians, we should expect to embrace trials. Let me give you three reasons why this morning. Number one, trials measure how strong our faith is. Trials measure our faith. Bible clearly tells us in verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." See, our faith can be measured by how much we are willing to sacrifice and bear, how we respond to the trials and sufferings in our life. Dear friends, suffering persecution for Christ shows how strong or how weak that our faith really is. See, trials are not unusual in the life of the Christian. As we see in our Bible here, as we look at strange trials, or strange being defined, it means to surprise or astonished by the strangeness and the novelty of a thing. We should not think it unusual or even unexpected when we go through some of these things, because in reality, it's life. And as a believer, we will face these things. Peter is telling the Christians to expect the trial. Fiery trials and painful ordeals describe what most of us pass through at one time or another in our life. And how often I wonder how much the world, the unbeliever, or the carnal Christians sees other believers and followers of Christ and wonder, how are they going to deal with this? How are they going to show themselves strong? How are they going to respond now since they're going to church? I can remember some years ago in my military days where people get saved and get excited, get involved in church, and they hit that first trial. And then right away, people at work begin to wonder, well, we'll see how real this conversion is now. The world is watching us. Fiery trials can be defined as these fiery trials are in reference to the refiner's fire. When a metal is refined, it is purified by putting that heat to it to burn off the dirt, the dross, and the impurities, and leave behind pure metal. So the Lord allows these adversities in our lives in order to purge out the impurities. In other words, this is God's means of maturing and strengthening our faith and walking in them. So often I think that we forget in some aspects. I remember when our children were little, so often, especially that first child, I mean, we wanted to make sure that we washed our hands before and after changing that diaper. We carried them around everywhere they went. We didn't want them to fall. We put up all sharp objects and tables and things out of the way as they were learning to walk. And then we get past that first one, and man, it won't hurt him to eat that little bit of that dirt. He'll be fine. But in that process of that first one, we hold those fingers and help them to walk. But eventually we have to let go and let them walk to us. Eventually we have to let them go and they fall down. Eventually as they try to walk and run, they hit themselves. And they fall down and hit their heads. That's all part of the process. And as children of God, sometimes the Lord allows us just to walk on our own. And we got to kind of figure it out and understand that the Lord allows some of these things. He allows these things in our life. And sometimes it's how we respond and how others see us respond. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So that if nothing else, that tells us, hey, that's what the world's going to act like. They're not going to do right. They're not going to be right. And it's up to the Christian to be the light of the world and respond the proper way to trials and tribulation. Besides, God doesn't favor the believer over the non-believer when it comes to trials. We all face them. And it betters us. It draws us, again, closer to Him. Not only are trials not unusual in the life of the Christian, but trials are, again, to prove our proof of salvation to the Christian. As believers, we are embraced and realizing that when we do wrong and the Lord chastises us, that's not suffering, that's not persecution, that's a loving Heavenly Father getting our attention. It reminds us that we are in Him. Philippians chapter 1, at verse 28 and 29, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." Dear friends, trials measure how strong our faith is or is not. We are just accepted. The Word of God says we're going to face them. Sometimes they're going to be fiery. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're going to really be hot and fiery. But it's how we respond to them and how God works in our lives to embetter us, to improve us, to refine us that we might be used of Him. And then number two, trials mean we are partakers of His suffering. That means we're like Him. Verse 13, "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." See, persecution proves our trust in God and teaches us to depend upon God more and more. See, the more we suffer for Christ, the more we draw near to God and for His help and for His strength. "Lord, I just can't do this on my own. Lord, I desire. I know I'm going through some persecution. I know I'm facing some trials. I know I'm going through some hardships right now. But Lord, I need You today more than I ever have. Lord, I just need You to help me through this." And that's what He is there for as we draw nigh unto Him. Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses there in Hebrews 12. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Dear friends, just like Christ suffered, we are going to go through those things. But let's remind ourselves, we are joining with Him. We are suffering like Him. During a time that we go through great persecution and suffering, that is one time in our life where we're almost even more so like Christ in His sufferings. Jesus endured the cross of shame. It tells us in verse 2, "Endureth the cross, despising the shame." Like Job, Jesus suffered public and private shame. Dear friends, our Lord's suffering was so much more than any public shame that we could ever have to endure or face in our life. Though we may suffer some things, we may go through some things, let's just remind ourselves, Jesus went through so much more. I don't want to retell the story. I think I've told this before. It might have been on a evening service. I don't know. But every time I read this passage of Scripture, I hear my Hispanic friend, Brother Elias, the master sergeant in the U.S. military, the first time or the second or third time I went out visiting with him and got treated a little harshly at the door of someone that we knocked on, and him just reminding me, "Brother Cook, don't forget, that was harsh, but it is nothing to what Christ went through. There's no comparison of the cat of nine tails, the beating, the suffering, the death, and all that he went through for us that we'll ever face here on earth. So when you go through suffering and you go through difficulties, remind yourself that Jesus endured the cross for me. I can endure some trials for him because of my faith. Jesus endured the contradiction of sinners. That phrase there, that word there in verse 3, contradiction. Here is the idea of gainsaying or opposition. Jesus had to endure the ridicule, the cursing, false accusations, slander, mocking, and hatred of those he loved and he died for. He understands our trials and our sufferings. He understands what we're going through. He understands. He's been there. And all we need to do is remember, as I suffer these things and I go through these difficulties, I'm going to do my best to shine that Christ may be seen through what I'm going through. People will watch and they will observe how we handle the situation. Jesus endured the cross. But also, we need to remember that there is joy in the presence of God. Now, folks, I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to the return of the Lord Jesus. I look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus more and more every day. And every time I turn on the news, I am looking forward to it. Ever so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Verse 14 says, if ye be reproached for the name of Jesus, happy are ye. Let's just be honest. The last time you went through great persecutions and suffering, did you say hallelujah, amen, thank you, Jesus? I sure didn't. I don't always. In fact, when I smash my thumb with a hammer, which I haven't done in a long time, I don't say, well, thank you, Lord. I got four more digits on this hand. No, it's not our automatic reaction. That's how not all we respond. We respond with, ow, that hurts, or woe is me. But once we get through that, hopefully the Holy Spirit will remind us to say that, I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry, daughter. I know this is difficult. I know that it's hard. But see, I'm using your persecution. I'm using your trial that the light may shine through you that we may reach. And the Lord might even bring somebody to your thought, to your mind, of who the Lord wants to see you shine through that persecution. If it be reproached in the name of Jesus, Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. As the divine spirit resteth upon Jesus, so does it rest upon his mistreated followers. Think about that for a moment. Peace and victory are not found in the absence of trouble, but the presence of God. Even through our trials and difficulties, even through our hardships, we can enter in and know the presence of God is with me. Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verses 16 through 18. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. See, in adversity, we usually want God to do a removing thing, a removing job, when he wants to do an improving job. Sometimes God just brings it in to allow us to improve, and we may want God to help us out of it, but God may say, I want you to go through it. I don't want you to run around. I don't want you to run away. I want you to go through the trial, and I want to be there with you. And because of that, not only will I be glorified, but there might even be some others that lift you up because of how you handled it. And then you could use it to point to Christ. That person comes by and lets you know, wow, I can't believe how you're handling with such grace the sickness that you're going through. I can't believe the joy that you still have, though the discomfort and the troubles and trials that you're going through. Man, I just don't know if I could do it like you're doing it. I don't know how you do it. And then you just smile and say, it's because of Jesus. It's because of what my Savior went through. He allows me to suffer this persecution, to suffer these sufferings. He helps me through it because I could not do it without him. He uses that to allow us, though we be lifted up or recognized by others, to point it all back to him. Because of his goodness, I am able to do these things. Dear friends, as his spirit rests upon us, we can glorify God in our time of adversity. He says there, for the spirit of the glory and of God in verse 14 resisteth upon you on their part. He is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. As Christians, we should expect and embrace trials because trials measure how strong our faith is. And the trials help us to honor him and to not be ashamed. And number three, trials help us to honor him and not be ashamed. Again, trials are to embitter us. Verse 15 and verse 16. And let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Dear friends, learn to avoid self-imposed trials. Sometimes we throw up our hands and we say, woe is me, Lord, why are you allowing this? We're the ones that did it. We're the ones that stepped into it. But yet if we're not careful, we'll blame others or blame the Lord. And as believers, we have to ask ourselves, did I bring this trial on myself or is it a trial that the Lord has allowed in my life? See, as a believer, it is not to bring suffering upon himself. We are not to do that. If he is ever to suffer or be persecuted, it is to be because he is living for Christ and not because he is a lawbreaker. Our persecutions should be because of what we did. Excuse me, not of what we did, but because what others are accusing us of and not bringing us upon ourselves. Good example, but God is so good. This is not really persecution. It's not really a trial, but it's kind of a, oh man, I can't believe that. Got pulled over by the police. Some of you already know this. In Surprise. Speed limits in Surprise are different than in Buckeye. In fact, people in Surprise drive the speed limit. Not like Buckeye, not like Goodyear. And here I am, I made the wrong turn on my way to a VA appointment. And here I make a wrong turn. I realize, oh man, I got to find the next place to turn around. And as soon as I turn, because I'm thinking about that, I missed the speed limit that went down from 45 to 25. And I'm in an area that I thought it was at least 35. So I'm driving along, trying to watch the road, watch the map, trying to do several different things at once. I look up in my mirror without even thinking about it. My foot went right to the brake. Why? Because I saw the police. We all do it. Don't look at me like that. You see the police, your foot goes right to the brake off the gas pedal. And then I thought to myself, oh, Lord, came to mind. Lord, I brought this upon myself. I didn't put on my brake. I just took my foot off the gas. Because, you know, you take my foot off the brake, hit those brakes automatically. No, he knows he's speeding. He knows he's already hit the brakes. I finally dipped down. I took my foot off the gas and began to coast and look up every few seconds. I thought, okay, Lord, I brought this upon myself, no doubt. Then we went about a half a mile. He hasn't pulled me over yet. Well, I was still doing 35 and a 25. And then those lights went on. And I right away pulled over to close as a curb as I could, got my documents together, looked at the window to see which side he would come on, and lowered my window. He came around, and he come around. He's a young man. Good afternoon, sir. I said, good afternoon, officer. I was speeding. I do apologize, no excuse. On my way to the VA, took a wrong turn, and I should have looked at this new speed limit on the new road instead of trying to figure out where I was at. I hope it's not too painful. Gave him my documents, gave him the information. He went back to his car, and before I could say, Lord, please give me mercy, he was back. He said, you know, you weren't doing anything crazy. I'm going to give you off with a warning. I just smiled ear to ear. Said, Lord, I brought this upon myself, but here's a good picture of grace and mercy of my Lord. And I looked at him, I said, buddy, if I ever see you in public, I hope it's over another cup of coffee and not through this window right here. And I said, I promise it won't. He goes, I'm going to hold you to that. Now, I hope I do see him again sometime, but under other circumstances. But this is the type of thing that we bring on ourselves. We can't say, oh, Lord, why? I'm the one that was driving. He wasn't. And we want to blame everything else around us, but sometimes we bring these things upon ourselves. If a person violates the laws of the land and harms others, then he deserves to suffer. This is not suffering for Christ's name. We noted before that not all suffering is fiery trials from the Lord. Peter warns against sin, which nullifies the witness of suffering. Suffering for Christ means that a person is persecuted because he is living and proclaiming Christ. That's what true biblical persecution is. That is what the other suffering goes through. And sometimes we go through the suffering as a believer of nothing because of what we had done, but just because God has chosen to allow us to go through it so he might improve us, take us through the refiner's fire, or to let someone else see Christ working in our life that we might draw them unto him as well. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, again, happy are ye. Here as we look at our text again. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, 1 Peter 3:14. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, and meekness and in fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as an evildoer, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. If we're living for the Lord and we're doing all that we can, and we will make mistakes, but if we're doing our best, God will use those things to point others to Christ. But if we are not giving God the glory, and we are not going graciously through trials and persecution, and we are not embracing these things and saying, Lord, I know it's difficult, but I'm going to allow you to help me through it, then why would any non-believer want to have what we have? If we're not willing to address it, if we're not willing to say, I know it's hard, but I'm going to allow the Lord to help me through it, why would they want something we claim to have if we're not willing to live it fully in all things? See, the faith is not just in salvation. We also need to trust by faith that God knows what he's doing in our life. And again, me getting pulled over for speeding, God had nothing to do with that. It was me. I brought it on myself. And there are some things we bring upon ourselves by the choices we make or the choices we do not make. But yet, we should live in such a way that we're trying to point our lives back to Christ and allow him to work in us and to work through us. Learn. Not only do we learn to avoid self-imposed trials, but learn to honor Christ during our trials. Man, okay, I've determined I have not brought this upon myself. Now, how am I going to honor the Lord through this? Don't be ashamed of Christ. Do not be ashamed to suffer for being a Christian. The name Christian was given to the earthly believers by unbelievers. It was a name of mockery and the name of ridicule. Early believers called themselves brothers, believers, disciples, and saints. They did not call themselves Christians until much later. In fact, just think in your mind right now, how many times do you think the word Christian is used in the New Testament? Three times. Three times. All in the epistles, I believe. But yet the Lord tells us that as the early church called themselves brothers and believers and disciples and saints, this name Christian was really used as a mockery and ridicule. And some of us have heard the same thing. Yeah, we've heard somebody say, oh yeah, old Joe, he's a Christian. He wasn't being optimistic or uplifting. He was being ridiculed. He was being mocked. Oh yeah, he's a Christian. Hey folks, that's okay. Let them mock, let them ridicule, but let's keep on living for the Lord and wear that name proudly. Do all that we can. We're almost finished here, but let me cross over to some sports analogy once again. See, you're either a fair weather fan and you stick with your team no matter how good or how bad they're doing, or you don't. A fair weather fan just wants to tout how good their team is when they're winning. But whether they're winning or losing, you're either a fan or you're not. Now, as you know, I'm a Tennessee Volunteers fan because I spent my teen years and high school and some college years in Tennessee. Go Vols. I don't bleed orange. I bleed red, but I'm a Volunteer fan. Win or lose. And in the 70s, they stunk. They didn't do so well. These past few years in football, I'd have liked them to see a few more, win a few more games. Last year in baseball, they did well. This year, they've won 40-some games. It's wonderful, but it doesn't matter, win or lose. Hey, I have no problem wearing orange. But you know, I have to also ask myself as a believer, do I have no problem calling myself a Christian, living for Christ, no matter what the temperature is in our world? No matter what the politics say? No matter what crowd I am I still willing to say, well, wait a minute, hey, I'm a believer. Even this morning when I was pumping gas, Just trying to be friendly. Saw that gas sign. Never would have thought I got excited. 409 at Love's off Miller Road. I've got the app. I got it for $3.99. I saw that. Man, I got top off the truck. Fill her up. Got up there. The guy come over and cleaning, filling up the buckets there around for cleaning your windshield. And I said, hey, good morning. Struck up a conversation. When you're pumping 20-some gallons, it takes a few minutes. And I talked, struck up a conversation. I said, I could tell by your accent, you're from the New England states. Yep, been here 5 years. We had a conversation. And then a few little wordy durs slipped in some of our conversations. So I had to recalibrate and let him know that I was a preacher and on my way to church. You'd be surprised how quick his language cleaned up. Now, I could have said nothing, but even for a moment, if the Lord used that to bring conviction and get his attention, there's an opportunity the next time I get gas to talk to him again. In fact, I'm going to look for him. He's got a pool in his backyard. I'm going to look for him. I might have a new friend. I look for new friends all the time. I was pulling off the interstate the other day on the entrance ramp and pulled up behind a truck pulling a boat. And I looked at Michelle and said, you know what? That's a potential new friend right there. I wonder where he's going to get off on the next exit. I might get off and introduce myself. You know, if we'll just show ourselves friendly, live out our faith, and if people don't believe, they don't want to believe, if we sow the seed, God may use it somewhere else down the line. There may be people out here that get saved because someone else planted a seed some years ago, some weeks ago, or some months ago. As we go through our fiery trials and difficulties, we just keep pointing things to the Lord because if the world sees that, and by the way, how can a person in the world that we live in today not be a believer and not be depressed and have anxiety and all the other things that go with the world today? I'm glad I've got Jesus to lean upon. I'm glad I have my wife and my church family. I don't know what I would be besides lost if I didn't have the Lord. And why not? If he gives us all that grace and peace and comfort, let's make sure that even through our difficulties, we're pointing people to Christ. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God into salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to also the Greek. Paul says, I am not ashamed. It doesn't make matter about my past and who I was and part of the Sanhedrin, sit at the feet of Gamaliel. Now I'm not a proud man. I'm a humble man who desires to serve God, and I am not ashamed of the gospel that I once mocked. Dear friends, if God can change Paul, he can change those out there that are mocking us today. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Dear friends, he can do so much more if we allow him. How much do we hinder? How much do we get in the way? Don't be ashamed of Christ. Learn how to honor Christ in trials and then glorify God in your trials. Glorify God in your trials. If a believer is being ridiculed, he is being or she is being mocked or cursed, abused or persecuted because he is a Christian, he is not to be ashamed. In fact, you feel in that way and the world is persecuting, you ought to swell up and smile a little bit and say, ah, devil, I know what you're up to. But I've read the back of the book. I'm on the winning side. Bring it on. I want to trust the Lord. Go ahead, bring it. Go ahead, devil. Go ahead and use those things. But I'm going to do my best. I'm going to charge on. I'm going to trust in the Lord and allow him. And I can't wait to see how he does it. That's why we can smile. That's why we can take great joy, knowing that he is in complete control. Dear friends, no believer should ever be ashamed of the fact that he is a Christian or that she is a Christian. He is to take the stand for Christ and stand firm. He is to glorify God by standing up for and honoring the name of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, we may suffer the name of Christ, but make sure you bring glory and honor to him in your suffering. Wear that badge honorably. I'll close with one more illustration and we'll bring it to a close. Michelle, you can make your way to the piano. We was out at the restaurant the other day. Had an enjoyable meal with another church family. Haven't been down here all day. I think I'll come down here. Had a wonderful meal. We sat down and ordered our food. It was one of those times where the fellowship was wonderful, but the food wasn't that great, but the fellowship was great. And I noticed a couple of young men came in. You know the ones that come in with the white shirts and ties and have the little black badges in their pockets? That identifies who they are And often it says elder in front of it. Had one lady ask me one time when I was out visiting. She said, yeah, we had a couple guys came by a few minutes ago talking about church. It was really odd. Both of them had the same first name, elder. Anyway, I thought that was funny. I'd share it with you. Anyway, they wear it proudly. And hey, you got to have respect for it. I may not agree with their doctrine. I don't agree with their teaching as well as a few other places. But they believe what they believe, and they stand for what they believe, and they practice for what they believe. You know, some of these young men have to do this internship for like almost a year or more, and their parents pay for it before they go off to college. Did you know that? Mom and dad finance it. They live this way. They commit it to a full year before they go off to college. They may be wrong, and I can give other illustrations in the Bible. They may be wrong, but they're sincere in what they believe. And dear friends, we need more believers. We need more followers of Christ that are willing to wear the name proudly that I'm a Christian. I wonder what our community, what our conversation might be like if we wore a shirt or a hat for a whole week that says, I'm a true believer. I'm a believer. Or follow me to Harvest Baptist Church. Some type of slogan that identifies who we are, of what we stand for, of what type of conversation starters that they might be. I tell you what, when I sat there, I didn't say anything to the couple I was having the meal with, nor to my wife. But under my breath, I said, Lord, we need more people that are followers of you to have that type of courage. They didn't take it off and put it in their pocket when they walked into the restaurant. They wore it. It identifies who they are, and they're not ashamed. Dear friends, the persecution comes our way, sufferings and trials. We can overcome them. And it's simply by understanding that some we bring on ourselves and some that the Lord allows. And by the grace of God, even though I only shared 3 points, there's many more. Lord, whatever comes my way, I'm going to do my best to wear the name Christian faithfully, purely, honestly, Christ-like, and glorifying to you. If it hurts, if I'm emotional, if I'm saddened, if I'm injured, I'm still going to trust you that you know what you're doing. Let's stand together for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Michelle's going to begin playing the piano as soon as she's ready. Maybe this morning the Lord has worked in your heart in some way. I don't need to know the circumstance. I will not pull you aside in any way unless you come to me and want to talk. But no one's looking around this morning. But maybe you would just simply raise your hand up and down and say, Pastor, pray for me. I am going through some suffering. I am going through some trials. Yes, I see that hand. Lord, I'm going through some things, Pastor. Pray for me. I see that hand. Pray that I will wear the name Christian proudly, boldly, that I will be Christ-like, that people will see Christ even through my difficulties. Pastor, would you pray for me? Several hands that went up. Anyone else this morning? I see those hands. Maybe whether it's where you stand or if you want to sit or come here to an altar, maybe you just want to give those things. Yes, I see that hand over to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to glorify you and what I'm going through now. Maybe some of you may have some concerns about upcoming trials, and you may be thinking, you know, last time I went through some things, I didn't handle them very well. I could have honored the Lord a lot better than I did. I could have handled that situation. Pastor, pray for me that the next time one comes by, yes, I see that hand. The next time one comes by, I'm going to handle it a little bit better. I'm going to turn it over more quickly to the Lord and ask Him to help me. I see that hand. Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. Hands all over the auditorium this morning. Where you stand, or if you want to sit down or come to an altar, let's take a moment as our pianos plays and pray and ask God to do a work. Maybe there's someone here today that's going through some difficulties because you don't know the Lord. Maybe you slip up your hand and down and say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know the Lord as my personal Savior. I don't know where I would spend eternity, but I would like to know, Pastor, would you pray for me? I will not come to you. I will not pull you aside, but I will pray for you and make myself available. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure where I would spend eternity. The Lord sees the hands, sees the hearts, and knows the needs. Father, you work and have your way. Maybe you're here this morning and the Lord has been dealing with your heart about making Harvest Baptist Church your church home. You feel this is where God wants you to dig in and enjoy the Harvest family, support your church, support your pastor, support your fellow church members. This is where God wants me. Maybe you'd like to come this morning and unite in fellowship with the Harvest Baptist Church. If that's you and that describes how you feel and how you feel God wants you to do, why don't you come right now, make your way up here to the front row and have a seat. I'll be by in a moment and work in your heart and in your lives. The Lord has spoken to you in any capacity in that way. You come. We've got one couple that's come this morning for membership. Others may need to come. But God has spoken to your heart. Why not do that this morning? Anyone else this morning? The Lord has spoken to my heart about church membership. I believe this is where the Lord would have me to come and be a part and unite as a member of the Harvest Baptist Church. Minds are clear, you can have a seat. Got a few folks that come this morning, and as we always practice, when folks come for a candidate for membership of the church, I try to take time and talk with them first, make sure they are where we are baptistically and where they are as far as